Maybe we should go back to the opening Mishnah on Pei Zayin and Beis. Let's review again what the whole topic is. Min HaTorah the din should have been that to establish whether a woman is married and the husband disappears and we don't know if he's alive or dead, and then witnesses come and they testify the husband is not alive, so the woman is permitted to remarry. So Min HaTorah the din ought to have been that you should need two eidim, because that's called davish abiyerva. Didi maminis, didi nefashis, and davish abiyerva need two eidim. So you really should require two eidim. So the Mishnah says the chachamim were mekel, that eid echad is believed. But the reason why they were mekel, because we expect the woman to investigate when the eid echad comes and says the husband died, she should research it and investigate to the best of her ability. And she should only remarry if she's really fully convinced that the husband is taka and not alive. And we tell her in advance, look here, if it turns out that it's a mistake and the husband is dead, and the husband is still alive, and you remarried, we're gonna give you a whole bunch of penalties. The penalties are going to be, you need to get from this second husband, even though she was an Esh Yisish, she's still married to the first husband. So, Ein Kiddushin Tovsim Esh Yisish. So she needs a get from the second husband. She's not allowed to go back to the first husband. She really should be, it should really be an Esha Sisha Zinsa B'Shegig. Esha Sisha Zinsa B'Shegig is not a Seidah. It does not become Asura Ban. It should be Ba'inus B'Shegig. So it should have been, she should have been allowed to go back to the first husband. So the penalty is no. When Machma, she needs a get from the second husband. And she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. And neither of them pays her any ksuba. Usually when a woman gets divorced, she's entitled to collect ksuba. Here she's getting divorced from both husbands. The first husband is divorcing her with a get ben haTorah. Second husband is giving her a make-believe get midirabbanan. So she doesn't collect any ksuba. They're not entitled to any mizonis. Usually a husband has to support his wife. The husband, neither husband is mechayev to give mizonis. They're not entitled to get back the balois. When a girl gets married, she brings clothing into the marriage. So then after the couple gets divorced, she's entitled to take the clothing back again. Not entitled to take her clothing back anymore. And if she has children from the first husband, or from the second, children from the second husband will be mamzerim min haTorah. Children from the first husband will be mamzerim midirabbanan. And if she dies, the din usually is, let's say the first husband is a kohen. So a kohen is not permitted to be metame lemeisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. And one of the seven relatives is the wife, the spouse. So even though she's married min haTorah to the first husband, if she dies, her husband is not allowed to be metame to her. Second husband for sure is not allowed to be metame. The second husband is only a make-believe marriage midirabban. Loves a metame, loves a zakoin. Then the din usually is when a girl is married, when a woman is married, and she finds a metziah in the street, she's walking on the street, she finds $1,000 bill. So the din is that metziyasa goes labayla. The husband has the right to take the metziah. By any money that the wife earns, a maaseh adel goes labayla. Husband has the right to be made for her in the dorm. Here, neither the first husband nor the second husband has the right to be made for her in the dorm. And then the Mishnah continues. Hoysa bas yisrael nifsala min akuna. The din is that if a woman is nivala the pasala, let's say a woman is nivala by her brother. Sometimes it happens. You have young children, a brother and a sister, and they don't know what they're doing, and the brother is mizana with his own sister, little children. So if the girl is younger than 3, or the boy is younger than 9, his name be awesome beer. But if the boy is older than 9, and the girl is older than 3, that's nivalala pasala. So the girl is considered a zayna, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So that's what it says. That's if she's nivala by her brother, nivala by an erva. What if it's an Esh Yisish who is nensa also? So if she's married to a kohen, if a woman is an Esh Yisish kohen, she's nensa by somebody else. So she's an Esh Yisish, nivala by somebody other than her husband. So she has to get divorced from the husband. She's considered a zayna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. Ha'isabas Yisrael nifsal menakuna. If she's a levia, she's not allowed to eat maaser. And if she was a kohenes, if she was a bas kohen, she was a bas kohen before she got married. Now the husband has to divorce her. So usually, if a girl is a bas kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. If she marries a non kohen, bas kohen kisil yizar. She's married to a non kohen, he be truma sakadosh and lo sarchal. Calls man, she's married to a non kohen, she's not allowed to eat truma. But once the husband dies or divorces her, then shavu beisav yakin niram elach mavi atachol. She's allowed to eat truma again. But here,
Children.
If you have no children, right. So here the Mishnah says bas kohen. If she was a bas kohen and she was married to a non kohen, and then the husband has to divorce her, so now she should be able, and let's say there were no children from the first husband, so she goes back to live with her parents, so she's not allowed to eat truma because she was an eshesish, she never let to somebody other than her husband. That's called the zana, never let a pasul of psal. Then it says, "Yosh mishalzev, Yosh mishalzev, Yosh meskzubasa." Neither the children from the first husband nor the children from the second husband yarshin her ksuba. Is Morgan discussing? Of course, they don't yarshin the ksuba. It says she doesn't have ksuba from either of them. So how can they yarshin the ksuba? The Mishnah doesn't read straight. The yarshim don't get the ksuba. So this is all a series of penalties that they introduce. Then it says, "V'meisu." What if the first husband and the second husband died? So, and there were not, let's say there were no children at all. The Mishnah is telling Adinim, if there were children, there were no children. So let's say the first husband dies and they had no children. So you should, usually when a girl is married and the husband dies and there are no children, you have to have either chalitza or yibum. Here we don't permit yibum, because the woman is a saita, we treat her like a saita. So just like the saita is asur labayla, so she's not allowed to have yibum with the husband's brother either. So you need chalitza. The brothers of the first husband are not allowed to do yibum, and the brothers of the second husband also, they're not allowed to do yibum, they do chalitz. So the Mishnah listed off all the whole series of penalties, and we warn the girl in advance. Whenever you have an Eid Echot who's testifying that Meis Bailo, the Eid Echot says that the husband is dead. So we warn her, the Bezin wants her, you better investigate on your own, and you better research it, because if it's going to turn out that it's a mistake, that the husband is still alive, you're going to have all these penalties. So we assume, because we tell her in advance that we're going to be very strict, in case it turns out that the husband is alive and the whole thing is a mistake, you're going to suffer the consequences. So that's going to encourage her to do much more research. So we were in the middle of the Gemara, that's the mission. So we're in the middle.
She's Mizana. A regular woman who's Mizana, she has a husband, he dies. That husband has a brother, she gives Chalitza in that case?
You have to give Chalitza, yeah. If the wife was Mizana, Tachas by law, that's a Mishnah Saita. Yeah, you're not allowed. If the wife was Mizana and they have no children.
They have no children, totally.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter whether she had children, if the husband ever had children.
Right.
Even if he had children from a girlfriend. Not from his wife. But Bein Alom, he has no children at all, no children, no grandchildren. So then she needs chalitza or yibum, but if she's a soita, so then she can't do yibum. We only permit chalitza. Yeah. She needs chalitza, yeah. Just like the Gemara says, just like she would have needed a get from the husband, so too, if the husband dies, she would need chalitza from the oven. But she's not allowed to do yibum. So I think we were in the middle of the Gemara, where the Gemara was commenting on all of the penalties. So I'm not sure, we haven't learned that in a long time. I think we're on the last line on Tzadik on the base. Anybody remember?
Yeah.
I think on the last line, something like that. So the Gemara quotes the last line on Tzadik on the base. The Gemara quotes a line from the Mishnah. If she's a Yisraelis and she was living with the second husband, and she's an Eshesish living with someone else, so that's Nivolo Pasala. So she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. The Gemara said Pshita, Rashi says Zainai. That's the din, that's talk a lot in Yevamos about that. I remember somebody was having a riddle. Someone had a riddle. How can you have a case, a woman is married, and the husband gives her a get, and she's allowed to marry a Kohen? Hechitimtza. A girl was married, and she gets divorced, and the husband gives her a get, and she's allowed to marry a kohen. She's a grusha asur l'kohen. So I couldn't figure out the answer. So he tells me she was married to a goy. So I said, no, married to a goy. She was living with a goy. Nivul al apostle. Not allowed to marry a kohen. She's not a grusha, but she's a zayna. A woman is nivul to a goy. Chol al nasan mamzer, akum evet. That's nivul al apostle makes her into a zayna. Zayna is asur l'kohen. So the Gemara is on the Mishnah. Isn't this pshita? Since we treat her like an eshes ish, she's inso, so pshita. She's a zayin asur l'kohen. So the Gemara says you're right. That part of the penalty is elementary. The next line is a big chiddush. But the next line in the Mishnah is a chiddush. What if the woman whose husband came back alive is a levia? And now she's married to a. Now she's married and her husband, both husbands are going to divorce her. So I would have thought that she's allowed to eat maisa. A levia always eats maisa. So the Gemara says, the next line in the Mishnah says, if she's a levia, basle v'mena maisa, it's bichale. The first line in the Mishnah, this line, if she's a bas Yisrael, and she's nivela to somebody other than her husband, that she becomes a zayin asur l'kohen. That's pshita, that's elementary. We know that. Nivela l'pasla psola. It makes her into a zayin. But the next line, it's tichale. Basleid v'mena maisa, it's tichale. The chiddush is the next line. So the Gemara said, the next line doesn't make any sense.
Can't anybody do that?
Can't. Maisa that's the Gemara's kasha. That's the Gemara's kasha. The din is, Taisus tag tantap. There's a machlekes hatanoim, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. They tell you where it is. Machlekes Ameh and the Chachamim. So Reb Meir's opinion is that just like Truma may only be eaten by Kohen, so to Maisurisha may not be eaten by a non-lady. And the Rambam does not paskin like that. The Rambam paskins, like you said, anyone can eat Maisurisha. Anyone can eat Maisurisha. Truma has Kedusha. So the dinim, there are restrictions. You're not allowed to eat it if you're Tomei. You're not allowed to eat Truma if you're not a Kohen. But Maisurishan, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Maisurs, they tell you where it is. The Rambam is with Perek Aleph, I think. Perek Aleph and Hilchas Maisur, Alocha Beis. So the Rambam writes that Maisurishan does not have any Kedusha. When it says, the Rambam said, that's talking about Maisurishani. Maisurishani has Kedusha, that you have to eat it only in Yerushalayim. The Kedusha of the Tahara, but Maisurishan has no Kedusha. Maisurishan has no Kedusha, so the Rambam says, therefore, a Zara is permitted to eat it, you don't have to be a Levi, and a Tomei is permitted to eat it. The Pasuk says regarding eating Maisur, v'chalta Maisur b'chol mokon. So the Gemara has a drosha, you can eat the Maisurishan anywhere, afilu b'veis hakvaras, even in the cemetery, even though you're Tomei and the Maisurishan is Tomei, there's no restriction, it doesn't have any Kedusha. Reb Meir holds like that. Reb Meir holds that a non-Levi is not permitted to eat Maisurishan. The Rambam does not paskan like Reb Meir. The case of Mishnah and that Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis and Hilchos Maisuris, asks why didn't the Rambam paskan like Reb Meir? Because that Gemara that Tosfos quotes, the Gemara presents it as if there's a Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir. The Mishnah Yevamos on Daf Pehei seems to read that the Mishnah adopted Reb Meir, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir. The Stam Mishnah goes like Reb Meir, that a non-Levi is not permitted to eat Maisurishan. So the Kes Mishnah asks, how come the Rambam didn't paskan like the Stam Mishnah? So the Lech Mishnah says, because of Agamar. Agamar seems to present it as if nobody holds like Reb Meir. It's an awkward shita, that a Zara is not allowed to eat Maisurishan. We don't paskan like that. We paskan it allowed to. So if a non-Koyan, a non-Levi is a Zar, a person who's not a Levi is permitted to eat Maisurishan, so you can't say that there's a din. A Zayna is not allowed to eat Maisurishan. Why not? What's wrong? If there's a din, a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma, so you say even a Kohenis, who's a Zayna, so she has a Psul like a Zar. She forfeits, she loses her Kedusha's Kuhuna with respect to this. But if a Zara is permitted to eat Maisurishan, how can you say that a Leviah who's a Zayna is not allowed to eat Maisurishan? So that's what the Gemara asks. Ubas Levi mena Maisa mi mipsol biznus. Is there such a din that a girl who's a Leviah who used to eat Maisurishan, now that she's mezana with someone other than a husband, she becomes a Zayna? So Zayna is not allowed to eat Maisurishan. Since when? Vatanya, we have a Beferisha Braisa, Leviah Shanishbis. There's a din midrabban on the shvuya. If a woman was held captive by the Nachrim, so if they put her in prison for tax evasion in the United States of America, so they're not going to rape her, and the prison guards are not going to rape her because she's going to sue them. They have no right to, she owes the money for taxes. But if they put her in prison for din in the fashas, they have a right to kill her, they can do whatever they want, so they can rape her also, they can do whatever they want. So they made a din midrabbanan that a Jewish woman who's a shvuya, we have to treat her as if she was nensa, as if she was nivola by the Goyish captives, and she's not allowed to eat truma. She's not allowed to marry a kohen, because if a Jewish woman is nivola by a nachri, nivola the pasul psal, she becomes a zayna. So if she's a woman is a shvuya, not allowed to marry a kohen. That was the big shaila after the Second World War. There were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of women who were held captive in the concentration camps. And they were killing them. They could do whatever they want at that time. So none of them should be allowed to marry kohanim. And they all married. Many of them married kohanim. So I don't know. We once spoke about it. Moshe Feinstein doesn't have any printed tshuvas. I don't know what his opinion was about it. So at the time, there was a Rabbi Breisch, I think the father of the one who just passed away. Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland, I think the one who just passed away now. He was the son of the Rabbi Breisch then. So he wrote a tshuva, and I think they all agreed with him. He was mekel. You have to be mekel. What are you going to ask the hundreds of thousands of women that then are surviving women? You know, you're going to tell them they can't marry God. So he says that since the Nazis considered the Jews like animals, and they considered it Mishka Behema, and if they would catch an officer sleeping with a Jewish woman, they would fire him. He would lose his job. So under those circumstances, he says that din of shvuya is a chumrah midrabbanan. It's not a real suffix. It's not a real suffix. The whole thing is a chumrah midrabbanan. The raiv is that she was not the nivala. So the chumrah was never made under such circumstances if it's so far fetched. So they were mekel on all of them. So the din is if a leviya shenishbis, a leviya who's allowed to eat maaser, she was held captive in a prison. And you're concerned maybe the prison guards will ma'anis her, because they have a right to kill her, they have the right to do whatever they want. So maybe she was nivola by the guy. So even if she was nivola, she nivola bilaznus, we know for a fact that she was nivola. Not only shvuya, that it's only a chumra, you treat her as if she were nivola, even if you know bevada, she nivola bilaznus, but then it's not salam maisa, she's permitted both. You're allowed to give her the maisa, and she's allowed to eat the maisa rishon. The two, they may not necessarily be the same all the time. There are people who are allowed to eat maaser, but you're not allowed to give them. Let's say that people are allowed to eat truma, but you ain chol kamam truma bebeis agorim. Let's say a katan who is not yet bar mitzvah, a young child. The kid is a kohen, his father's a kohen, he's a kohen. So the father has to watch when the kid is tohar, so the father can give him truma. When the kid is tomei, the father's not going to give him truma. So the little kid, 6 years old, is going to show up at the Beis HaGoren on the farm. He's going to say, everybody knows he's a guy. They know his father. He looks the same face as the father. He wants to get truma. So the din is, you're not allowed to give the little kid truma. He may be tummy. Even if he's not tummy, he may not be careful. He'll be metame the truma. So you're not choylik. Let's say, an ever chal koyin. An ever knaini of a koyin is echel b'truma. But you're not choylik truma to the ever knaini chal koyin in the Beis HaGoren. He may be metamiyah, he may not treat it properly. There are people who are allowed to eat truma, but you don't give him the truma. Here, it says, this leviya, who is nivola bilos nuas, nosin la maisa, you're allowed to give her your fulfillment of the mitzvah of nesinas maisa lelevi, and achelas, two kulas. You yotze the mitzvah of nesinas maisa by giving it to the leviya, she nivola bilos nuas, and she's allowed to eat it also. So Gemara doesn't understand. How can the Mishnah say this din? It doesn't make any sense. It says if she's a bas levi, she's nipsala min ha-maisa. How can it be nipsala min ha-maisa? Because nivola l'pasla makes a resident. There is no such din. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheish is knasa. This is a knas. This doesn't really correspond to. Usually you have called the tikkun rabbanan came there. I said, tikkun, this is wild. We wanted to pile up all the knosses. So they said, she goes to the ksuba, she doesn't get mezainas, she doesn't get lad mamza, then metamila, then meifin adarel. They piled down all the knosses. So this is a knas. It doesn't really correspond. It doesn't really make any sense. That's Tosfos is not so sure. The top Tosfos is not so sure. Maybe it corresponds a little bit. They want to know. Maybe the knas only makes sense if you hold like Reb Meir. If you hold like Reb Meir, that a non-Levi is not permitted to eat Maaser. So you don't go one step further and say just because the non-Levi is not permitted Azar, a non-Levi is not permitted to eat Maaser. You don't go one step further and say that just like Azar is not permitted to eat Truma, so too a Nivel of Apostle is not allowed to eat Truma. So you don't go this step further by Maaser and say just like a non-Leviya is not permitted to eat Maaser, Azar is not allowed to eat Maaser. So Zayin is also not allowed to eat Maaser. Tosfos says no. Reb Meir would never say that. Reb Meir didn't say that. But within Reb Meir, that's the knas. If you hold like Reb Meir, that a zar is not permitted to eat maaser, then it makes sense to make a knas like this. But if you hold like the Chachamim, that a non-azar is permitted to eat maaser, it doesn't make sense at all to make such a knas. Knas in the middle of nowhere. That's what Tosfos suggests. Maybe this whole Chumrah, the knas is only if you hold like Reb Meir. And then Tosfos writes at the end, the last couple lines in the top Tosfos on Tzadik Aleph, B'shem l'Reb Meir, davke nifsula b'achilas ma'isa, the kansua, shetichoshev kizar, v'zar asa b'maisa. Reb Meir holds that a zar is not allowed to eat ma'isa, so they declared as a knas, as a penalty, that a zayna is dina kizar, aval rabbanan, but if you hold the way we paskin, that a zar is allowed to eat ma'isa risha, so it doesn't make sense to make such a knas. The knas also has to have a mahalach, has to be called the tikkun rabbanan. Can there rise a tikkun? That's what Tosfos suggests. Maybe the Mishnah is knas is only within Reb Meir. Av the rabban lo shach lekonsa lo garmizah. Then they say inami. Then they come up with a suggestion. Inami afilu ki rabbanan. Maybe the penalty is shalolitan ma'isala. She is muteris to eat ma'isa. If a zar is allowed to eat ma'isa, so a zayin is also allowed to eat ma'isa. But the penalty was you shouldn't do the mitzvah of Nesina. Just like in Truma, there are people who are permitted to eat Truma, but El Chok Alam Truma Bebeis Agrans, you don't give them Truma, because they may be Mitame, whatever, for whatever reason. See here, maybe the penalty is, what's the Loshan HaMishnah? Nipsala Mena Maiser. Nipsala Mena Maiser means not allowed to eat Maiser, and Nipsala Mena Maiser, you don't give a Maiser. So that's what Tosfos suggests. Maybe if she's a Levi or Nipsal, a Maisa means you're not allowed to give her the Maisa, but if she will get her hands on Maisa, she will be allowed to eat. An Eifel. Okay.
Azara, that's also a Zona. She had the same Bas. Meaning a regular Bas Yisrael.
No.
So why, what's special about the Levi?
No. Well, only this kind of a Zaina. Only this one. If she's nivla by her brother, nivla apostle by her brother, he wouldn't have a knas. Only this knas. If an erechah came and mata the woman, because we have to have a whole list of 16 penalties that we give her. So we warn her in advance, if your husband is alive, and this is all a mistake, you're going to suffer the consequences. But if another zayna, we wouldn't. There was a zayna through some other form, we wouldn't have the chum. It's only a penalty in this case.
Somebody's captured and we are afraid that she was the Mizana, so it's only a Chumra, right?
Yeah, the woman says she was not Nivel.
Oh, so why don't we believe her?
That was the penalty, that was the Chumra of the Rabban, that you don't believe her.
On a Halacha, the right, so you don't believe, because you have to do. But on a Chumra, they also.
The whole thing is a chumra. The whole thing is a chumra. If you have an eid echad who says I was a man or a woman who says I was with her the whole time and they didn't touch her, so that's mutta. But if she says on her own, then she's not that menace. Even if her husband is there in prison, the Mishnah has even if the husband is in prison with the wife and he says they didn't touch my wife, so since balki ishtoi and ishtoi kigufoi ain't on a maid al atzma, just like we don't believe the woman on herself to say she was not nevala. See, even the husband is not nema to say that his wife is not nevala. The Mishnah quotes such a case. One of the Tanoim, he and his wife were both imprisoned by the Goyim. They could have killed both of them. And he testified afterwards they didn't touch her. So they said that he's an nema. So he had to divorce his wife.
Well, don't forget,
He said he was there the whole time. Was also yodom. They didn't believe him. Yeah.
Isn't there a trick by the Motza Shemra, I think it appears, where we put the woman on top of a barrel of wine, blah, 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 something to figure out whether she had messilit?
That's not a halachic way. The Gemara says somehow you can tell whether the woman is ba'ula or besula. No one understands how can it be. What the reich of the wine goes from the bottom through her mouth. How is it? A lot of things. There's a diaphragm that separates. A lot of things that separate. We don't understand that Gemara. But it's not a halachic idea. Gemara says a way to tell whether the woman is a besula or bula. Here the woman is living in the first husband. Of course she's going to be a bula.
Ksuba, she doesn't get the
Yechseit
Tzon
Bar
Zel, or
Yechseit
Malok, she gets back?
Also, no.
No.
She doesn't get anything back.
Neither husband.
Right. She doesn't get anything back. That's all the family.
What happens to Eid Echa? Does he get anything? Does anything happen to him? Obviously, he's staying alive.
We should put him in prison. The Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't talk about, but we should do something to him. Okay, Mr. Tamer. Bezem Akli Yanshim, that's Sarach Chayru Ashoah. They should penalize him.
It seems to penalize the woman more than him, and he's the one who's justified.
Who misled her, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Baskoyen Min HaTshuma. That what if the woman was a Kohenes? Now the first husband's going to divorce her, the second husband's going to divorce her. Let's say she had no children. Let her go back to live with her parents, and her father's a Kohen, and she's a Baskon, so let her be Truman. So the Mishnah says no. She was Nivad al Apostle, she's a Zaina, because she had an affair with the second husband before she got a gift from the first husband. So she's not allowed to eat Truman. So this is an elementary din. So what's the Chiddush? Baskon, and after Mars, I feel the Truman, they're Abana. Not only Truma the Raisa is such a din, even to the Rabbanan also, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. A woman as a Zayna is not even allowed to eat Truma the Rabbanan. Then the Mishnah has the line that we don't understand. Then Yoshim Shalzeh, Yoshim Shalzeh, Yoshim Ksubasa. The children that she had from the first husband, but the children that she has from the second husband, neither set of children will Yarshin her Ksuba. If she dies, if a woman is entitled to ksuba, let's say the husband divorced his wife and she didn't have a chance to collect the ksuba, and then she dies. So a yorshim collect the ksuba. A yorshim collect the ksuba. So here, even if the wife, this woman, who married the second husband without a get, even if she dies, the yorshim don't get the ksuba. You must say, ksuba my avidite. How can they yashin the ksuba? She herself ain't look ksuba. She doesn't have any ksuba. So what is it a yashin? What is it to talk about? And for the Gemara, Omer Apop, and the Mishnah is talking about ksuba's ben indichrin. Ksuba's ben indichrin is the following. That's what someone started to talk about. The Gemara Rashi has a long Rashi. He quotes from ksuba's dafnun base. Ksuba's ben indichrin was a takana that was made in the days of the Tanoim. And the Mishnah says there in Ksubas, even though the husband didn't write it into the document of the Ksuba, it's a takanas ha-tanoim and it's binding anyway. So the issue was, in the days of the Tanoim, when a couple would marry off the son, they would give him a big matana, a cash matana. When a couple would marry off the daughter, the practice in the days of the Tanoim was that people wouldn't give any money to the daughter. Because called Masha Kansisha Kana Baila, the husband is going to balabatava over the money. The husband is going to spend the money on whatever he wants. So they didn't give their daughters any matanas. So the Tanoim felt that that's not right. So in order to encourage people, Kadesh Yikpots, people should be prepared to give their daughters the same amount of money. Rashi quotes the Loshan for the Imar, Kadesh Yikpots, Sadvit, and Lebito, Kibino. 10 lines later, Rashi has it. That's the Loshan HaGemar there. Kadesh, people should step forward. Yikpat Sadam Yitan Lebita Kamenai should give the same amount of Chasna Matana to the daughter like he gives to the son. So they had to do something to encourage them. So they made a takana that whatever, that's called Nechseit Tzon Barzel. you assess the value of all of the property that the girl brings into the marriage. So the girl has jewelry, and the girl has clothing, the girl has the parents bought the furniture, whatever, an automobile, they bought an apartment in Yerushalayim, whatever the parents bought for the girl. So you assess everything in the ksuvah. So the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel, we want to encourage the parents to give the daughter matanas. So the parents may be afraid to give her. She may die at childbirth. In the days of the Tanoim, the women, it was very common, women would die at childbirth. So she may die at childbirth, and then whatever the man gave to his daughter, the husband is going to use it on the second wife. So why should the father want to give any matanas to the daughter when she gets married? The husband is going to balabatavah, and then if the daughter dies at childbirth or something, from a sickness, then it's going to be the other wife is going to enjoy this. So they made a takana, even if you didn't write it into the ksuba, this is a takana. Benin dichin di habilicha minoi, if the daughter who's marrying this boy now, if she has boys, so the boys will get birusha, the full amount that the parents gave the girl at the time, the full amount of the nichsei tzon barzel, full amount of the assets that she brought into the marriage. She brought in money in the bank, and she brought in clothing, we assess how much it's worth, and the apartment in Yerushalayim, the automobile, and the furniture, and everything, we assess everything. So later, when the son-in-law, when the son-in-law dies, and he may have children from the first wife and children from the second wife, he may have two wives at the same time also, it's not necessarily going to be Mizrach Hazeh. In the days of Tanaim, that was rare. It was rare that someone would marry two. It was permissible, but we have dinim early on Yeromis on the assumption that it was not a common practice. So this is the takana b'nei dichin. Lachamei reis mishana, when the son-in-law will die, and all the children will divide the Yerusha, so divide equally. Before you divide equally, first you give the sons, if she had boys. If b'nei dichin, if there are boys that the daughter had from this husband, they first, you return to them from the father's Yerusha, from their father's Yerusha, you return to them the full amount that was given to the daughter as the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel. So this will encourage the grandparents, it will encourage the parents of the girl to give matanas to the daughter when she gets married, because the matanas that they give to the daughter will always go back to the daughter. If the husband dies first, she gets it back. She gets back the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel. And if the husband divorces her, she gets all the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel. And even if she dies first, and she doesn't get any Yerush, she doesn't get any Ksuga, but then, when the husband will die, years later, when the husband will die, the sons from their daughter will get back the whole Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel, all the matonis that the father gave.
Isn't that only
something
to Yerusha for the rest of
that? Yeah, the Mishnah has, you have to have left over, that you have to be able to divide the Yerusha. Yeah.
And if she has no children, it's Farfalon?
Farfalon. Okay. If they have daughters, then the Takana doesn't apply. The Chacham felt if they'll make the Takana b'mitzas, if they have boys, the boys will get back every penny that the father gave the daughter, so this will be enough to encourage the fathers to give matanas. The Rosh there has a long discussion on Daphnan Beis and Ksubis. He says that the Gaonim write that this takana no longer applies Bizban Hazeh. Why not? Because the whole reason, the whole motivation for the takana was Kadesh Yitput Zodam Yitim Abito Kibino, to encourage the fathers that they should give the daughters a matana chasana matana kesh matana, like they give to the sons. And for many generations, the minig was fakir, that the fathers give, when the daughter gets married, they give big cash matanas. When the son gets married, they don't give so much. So the whole reason for the takana doesn't apply, so the whole takana falls apart. So that's what the Rosh quotes, those who disagree. How can you say, you make a takana the rabbana for a reason, if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the takana falls apart? That's what we call davish b'minyan, tzach minyan achalatira. Just because the reason for the gzeir, the reason for the takana, even if you live in a generation when the whole reason doesn't apply, the takana still applies. How did the Gaonim make such a statement? But that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that this takanas ben dicha no longer applies bizman hazeh, because the whole mitzias of the world changed. We don't have to encourage the fathers to give to the daughters like they give to the sons. Halavai, they should give the sons with the same amount that they give to the daughters. Practice has been for many years that they give the daughters and they don't give so much to the sons. So that's the pella. How can it be? So the pshat perhaps is, we must have spoken about it. There's a Mishnah in Megillah that says that a kohen who's a balmom is permitted to duch. Kohen who's a shikir is not allowed to be makru karbonis, and the kohen is a balmom is not allowed to be makru karbonis. But what about duchening? So the din of balmom does not carry over to duchening, and the din of shikir does carry over. So that's the question: is that a din deraisa that the shikir is not allowed to duch? It's a real din deraisa, din derabbanan, whatever it is, machlokes harishonim. But that's the din. A balmum is permitted to duchen and a shikir is not allowed to duchen. So the Gemara says a balmum is permitted to duchen provided that it's not a balmum with panav yadav or baraglo. But if he has mumin with panav on his face of the yadav or baraglo, so then he's not allowed to duchen because it may draw attention to the mum. And it's not proper, the Gemara says, it's not proper to look at the hands of the Kohanim when they're duchen. In the Beis Hamikdash, when I was a little boy, they used to say, the first time you look, you get blind on the right eye. The second time you look, you get blind on the left eye. And then if you look a third time, then you die, whatever. So how can it be? Yeah. So the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, Shechina is Shor HaNehen. So that's Mamish Osa. And the Gvul, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Shechina is not Shor HaNehen, but still, Gemara says, it's not proper to look at the hands of the God. So we're afraid, if Yesh Lamum, in front of Yod, this will draw attention. If he has mumin under his clothes that's covered up, so then people are not going to see. But if it's going to draw attention, they may look at the hand, so that's not proper. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Kesef Mishnah, in his commentary on the Rambam, he's mesupik, what's the din bizman hazeh? A new minig developed, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in the middle of the 1500s, a new minig just developed in our generations after that the kohanim cover their hands. So he can't see anything anyway, unless he crawled under the talus. So no one's going to see anything anyway. So what do I care if Yesh Lamun in front of the other Raglov? You can't see the ends of the Kohanim even if you try. So he's not sure whether the din in the Mishnah still applies. By the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch later, years after he wrote the Kesef Mishnah, he paskin the din does not apply. He took a Mishnah Megillah and he says it no longer applies. So the Pella is, how can it be? They made exer in the Rabbanon that a Balmum in front of the other Raglov is not allowed to duchen because it may draw attention and people may look at his hands. So that's called Dovashim Nimin Yitzach Me'erach Al-Atir. Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzeira Derabbanim, make a din because of a certain consideration, even if you live in a generation where the whole concern doesn't apply, there is no concern because the Kohanim in our countries, it's not universal. The Mishnah Berurah writes, and Mishnah Berurah Chavetz Chaim lived in Poland, and he writes, I forget already, I think in Lithuania, in one country, the minig was the kohanim covered their hands. The other country, the kohanim covered their faces, so they wouldn't look at their hands, and the hands were exposed. Sometimes on Yantav, when they duchen, so half of the kohanim have their faces covered and the hands are exposed, and half of the kohanim have their hands covered. There were two minhagim, two different minhagim. Mishnah Berurah writes about the different minhagim that there were. So Rabbi Yosef Kara in the Shulchan Aruch paskens that the din in the Mishnah no longer applies because the concern doesn't apply. So it's a pella. How can you say like that? That's whenever they make a takana because of a certain consideration, even if you live in a generation where that consideration doesn't apply, so the takana still applies. How can the Shulchan Aruch paskin that this din of balmumin duchening mumin bani yadav ragla doesn't apply to zman hazeh? So I think the answer probably is the following: the Mishkanes Yankiv has a whole tshuva about a different issue. We must have spoken about it. He has a truth about a different issue. He says, whenever the Chacham make a Gzera Derabbanan, you have to have a good reason to make a Gzera Derabbanan. They don't allow you to carry the karmelos because they're afraid you're going to carry the shusaram. They don't like to write with your left hand because you're going to forget, you're going to write with the right hand. So there's always a good reason for a Gzera. But whenever they formulated the Gzera, they never incorporated the Tama Gzera into the Nusach Gzera. They said, you're not allowed to carry the karmelos, period. If they're going to say, you're not allowed to carry karmelos because we're afraid that you're going to forget and carry Meshus HaRabim, so every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to say, I know the dinim, I'm not Moritz, I'm going to carry the kamlas, and I'm going to know not to carry the rishus haram. I know what's a rishus haram, what's a kamlas. I know how to learn. I'm not going to make a mistake. So the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that b'marava in Eretz Yisrael, when they used to make gzeira for the first 12 months, they wouldn't reveal the reason for the gzeira, because every time Dick and Harry's going to say, that reason doesn't apply to me, I don't have to observe the gzeira, so no one will observe it, the whole gzeira will fall apart. So they wouldn't reveal the reason for the gzeira. So the Mishkan Sankeva has old shuvah, he explains, that's only a normal gzeira. You prohibit carrying any karmelis because you're afraid they're going to carry shoes around. You permit it, you prohibit whatever, you're not allowed to take medications on Shabbos, Zeru Shem Mishachik Samamai. Fine. But whatever the nature of the Zeru is, Bakira's Dov Menatora, they tell the Kohen Menatora Yemuchiv to Duchani Midrabon, we don't allow you to fulfill the mitzvah of Duchani. So they have no right to make such a Zeru without saying a reason. All the Dinim Derabon blend in to be part of the Torah Shabbal Peh on the level of their Isa. So, in the same body of the Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, you have a din, Yimchuyiv to Duchen. And then you have another din, if you have Mumin, you're not allowed to Duchen. How can you have both together? I mean, Ator Yimchuyiv to Duchen, and Rabban, we don't allow him to Duchen. He's Mchuyiv to do it. So, whenever, that's in Mishnah Sanka, whenever the nature of the Xeros, Bakiros, Dov, Menator, they're Oikira Mitzvah from the Torah, then they had to incorporate the Tamak Zera into the Nusach HaGzera. Let us say, you're right, it's Shev Al Tase, but if it's, but the Sof Kol Sof, the Oikar and Mitzvah, and then, this is a different kind of Xera. This is a different kind. You're right, they only have a right to do it because it's Shev Al Tase, but even so, they have to have the Tamak Zera has to be incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera. So if it comes to a generation where the Tamak Zera doesn't apply, so the Mela, the whole Zera doesn't apply. But the gzera was, you're not allowed to duchen because you may draw attention to your hands. So because the tam gzera is incorporated into the nusach gzera, so whenever the tam doesn't apply, so the whole gzera doesn't apply. So that's what you have to say over here. There's a tesis there in Ksubis Nun Beis, somewhere over there, around there. There's a tesis there that says, let's say a man dies and we divide the Yerusha. So we usually think, a matter of Yerusha is dollars and cents. It's dinim ominous. And when it comes to dinim ominous, hefke bezn hefke, you can make whatever takonis you want. And there's no problem of bezn oike dob ben ator bikum v'yasei. If it's your money, midirabonon, I'm entitled to the money. So am I not in violation of my sigzo? I'm going to sue you in bezn, the bezn is going to make you pay me the money, which ben ator I'm not entitled to, only midirabonon I'm entitled. So we had the whole sugya. So the Gemara said, that's not an issue. It's not a problem of enkoach laka bikum liyasei. They're allowing the person to steal the money from the other fellow. The Gemara says, no, hefke bezna hefke solves the problem. So the pashtus is that Yerusha is dinim ominous, and whatever takona they're going to make in Hilchus Yerusha is hefke bezna hefke. So Tosfos says no. Tosfos and the Rambam also says no. The Rambam says that Yerusha we treat like Yisra v'hetta. You don't treat it like dinim ominous. As the Pasuk introduces the parasha of the Yerusha, Pasuk says, so the Rambam quotes a drasha from somewhere. We don't have it in the Bavli. They say it's in the Medrash HaGadol, this drasha. But the people who published the Medrash HaGadol say that the Medrash HaGadol that we have was reconstructed based on the Rambam. They took whenever the Rambam had a drasha and a Pasuk, they put it together and made a Medrash HaGadol. So we don't know exactly what the Makor is, but the Rambam quotes that Pasuk, introducing the din of Yerusha, that even though Yerusha is mishpat, it's dollars and cents, it's dinim ominous, I treat Yerusha as if it were Yisra Heta, chukah. I treat the Yerusha as if it were Yisra Heta. So it's really an issue of the Chachamim are going to say, when the daughter is getting married and the father is afraid to give money because she may die at childbirth, or the husband is going to bala batva on the money, so we tell the father, don't worry, the money will always land up by your grandchildren. And even if your daughter dies young, and your son-in-law, your former son-in-law will remarry, and then later on he'll die, that money is the money that you gave, the nichse tzar bazel, will go back when they divide the Yerusha from the son-in-law, when he dies, lachamav yasam shana, the first thing off the top, before they divide the Yerusha, they're going to give the nechzer tzan basel to the benedichim, to the grandchildren, the grandsons from your daughter. So Tosis says that's really an issue. Tosis writes, it's really an issue. Akira's dav mina Torah. Tosis says it's really an issue. Akira's dav mina Torah, because I don't treat it like dini mamonos, that you can say you solve the problem by saying hefke bet nefke. I treat Yerusha like Yisra v'hepen. The Rama Mosin says, Chukas mishpat aroa kala parsha kudol is chuka. I treat it like Yisra v'hepen. So the Gemara says, how come you're allowed to do that? It's Akira's dav mina Torah. In Issa the Heter, so the Tosis explains in the Gemara in Ksubis, Tosis in Ksubis explains the Gemara Ksubis based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says the Jewish people are going to go into Golus Babel. You're going to be there for 70 years, make yourselves comfortable. You're not going to come back within the 70 years. Build nice homes, raise children, marry them off. So the Gemara says, the Navi tells the parents they have to marry off their daughters. How do you expect to marry off your daughters if you're not going to give them matonas? The boys are going to want to go for the girls who have a little money. So make sure you give your daughters matonas. So because there's a mitzvah to marry off your daughters, so when the Chachamim changed the Yerusha over here, instead of all the children dividing the Yerusha equally, children from the first wife, children from the second wife, after the son-in-law dies, they should really divide all the Yerusha equally, so we're not dividing one equally. Before we divide all the rest of the assets equally, first we give the Nichsei Tzor Basel to the grandsons from this daughter. So isn't that Akira's Dov Ben HaTorah Bekum V'Yaseh Ye'oike the Mitzvah of Yerusha? So the Gemara says, no, that's also a mitzvah. In order to see to it that you marry off your daughters, that's the way you have to see to it to marry the daughter. Make sure that you give them matonis. So that's says once you assume like that this takonas ksubis benin dichrin is akira's dav min haTorah, then the Mishkan es Yankif applies his klal. Whenever the Chachamim make gzeira b'akira's dav min haTorah to be oiker mitzvah, they have to incorporate the tama gzeira into the nusach gzeira. And whenever that's the case, so if the Bezin says you live in a generation where the tam doesn't apply. Today, halavai sheitna the beno, kemo sheitna the bito. The Rosh says in the days of the Goyim, in the days of the Balei HaTosis, they only gave matanis to the daughters. They didn't give to the sons at all. So the whole reason for the gzeira, the whole reason for the takana ben edichon doesn't apply. So the whole takana falls apart by itself. That's the Mishkan. The Siyanka has this on the Rosh. The Rosh, we must have spoken about. The Rosh used to live in Germany. He was a Talmud of the Maharam Ritmerk. So the government wanted to hold up the Jewish community for money, so they put the Maharam Ritmerk in prison due to no fault of it. He didn't do anything wrong, didn't violate anything. They just wanted to, that was the meaning. He used to kidnap people and hold up the community, for the family of the community, for ransom. So the Rosh was wealthy and he was going to give half the money and he was going to get the other half of the money from the community. So the Maharam Ritmerk said, you're not allowed to. It's a Mishnah in Gittin. You're not allowed to be paid the captives who were kidnapped by the Goyish pirates. You're not allowed to pay more than the going rate if you would be buying a slave on the slave market. And they wanted an exorbitant amount of money. They had slaves, but they wanted an exorbitant amount of money. So Amran Rutman said, you're not allowed to give the money. I'll sit in prison. That's all. And then he said, even after I die, you're not allowed to be paid to my dead body. So Kozman, he was alive, they listened to him, and then after he died, one of the Balabatim paid the money against his instructions, and then the reward was that when that Balabas died, he was buried next to the Maharam Ritmerk. They told him he's not allowed to, but he did it anyway. He said, it's a bizayan to leave. So when the Maharam Ritmerk died in prison, so the Rosh realized, they got to put him in prison now. He was next in line. They'll put him in prison to hold up the community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. He snuck out of Germany, ran away to Spain. So he stayed. The Rashba lived in Barcelona, so he lived in Spain. They used to correspond. He stayed by the Rashba for a week or so, and then he got a rabbonis in Spain. So he had this yeke speaking Yiddish or German, and the Balbatim don't understand a word of German. And he introduced all the Minhagi Ashkenaz into Spain. All the menhagim. He changed all the menhagim there because he introduced all of his menhagim. A lot of things changed. And then later on, after the Spanish expulsion. And in 1492, many ran away to Portugal, and then they expelled the Jews in Portugal in 1497. So many of them ran away to Morocco, so they took the Yekeshim and Hagim that the Rosh introduced in Spain with them to Morocco. They changed the Menhagim in Morocco that they should have Yekeshim and Hagim for the Balei HaTosfos. History, a chunk of history. So the Rosh writes in the Tshuva, the Tur quotes his Tshuva Zerosh, we have it, and the volume of Tshuva Zerosh. Rosh writes, he came to Spain, and he sees the Balabatama wearing Arba Kanfis from linen. So he asks them, how you tochen? The Gemara has a machlokes, Bisham and Bisilo. This is one of the six cases where we pass like Bisham. Bisham made Gzera de Rabbanon, you're not permitted to put tzitzis in a beged shel pishtan. We usually have cotton. We years ago, when we were younger, they used to have linen shirts. Now they don't make any linen. I don't think they make linen shirts anymore. They make cotton shirts. So if you have a linen arba kanfis and you're going to put in tzitzis, the trailer string has to be dyed a certain color and has to be wool. It can't be linen. So when you dye the when you tie a knot, when you make a knot, the trailer string with the lavan is tied onto the beged that's pishtan, that's linen, that constitutes shachtes menater. So the din is at eser dechal esesa. That's the source in the chumash for the whole institution. Eser dechal esesa, because these two psukim are one next to the other. Masul b'shat and sema pishtan yachtav gedilim tasochal abakafu skuscha shetechasavah. So the Gemara says in the chumash dvarim, we pass in the chumash dvarim. Usually there's a din of a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume there's a connection. But if you have two dinim written in an adjacent psukim, so that's called smuchim. So diu darshin smuchim is a machlokes hatanoim. So the psak halacha, the Gemara in the first sugya in Yevam is daf hey. So Gemara says in chumash dvarim we darshin smuchim, in bereishis through bamid, but we don't darshin smuchim. So there are many famous dinim, many famous drushes based on smuchim in chumash dvarim. So this is one of the many famous drushes that you're allowed to wear tzitzis, chutei treles have to be semer, and a beged shel pishtan, even though shatnes, because that's a dechal esas. But the Gemara says, b'medvar mamurim, if it's bona fide, honest to goodness, treles. In the days of the Tanaim, they were fakers who were selling kloilon, imitation treles, and there was no way for you to tell whether this is real treles or it's imitation treles. So if you don't have real bona fide treles, you have shatnes unnecessarily. So then you don't say Eser Dechal Esesa. You only say Eser Dechal Esesa in a case where it's the Yepshel Lekayim Shnei. You can't fulfill a mitzvah without violating the Avera. Then you say the mitzvah is Dechal Avera, Eser Dechal Esesa. But if the Trelis is Pasul Trelis, because it's from a vegetable, Kloilon is indigo, it's from a vegetable, it's not from this sea animal, from the Chalozim, then there's no hetter to wear the Trelis. There's no hetter to wear the tzitzis. So we pass like Beishamai, you're not allowed to put tzitzis, period. You're not allowed to put no tzitzis at all. No trailers, no law. You're not allowed to put tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan. So the Rosh lived in Germany all the years. No one ever wore an arba kanfis made from linen. He comes to Spain, and a lot of the balabatim wearing tzitzis, a beged arba kanfis of linen. So yes, how you talking? The din is like, you can't say in Shulchan Aruch, and say it didn't happen in Shulchan Aruch. But the Psak HaMekubal was that we pass him like Beishamai. That's Rav Amram Goyen writes in the Siddur. This is in Sukkot, quotes Rav Amram Goyen. And the Siddur writes that there are six cases where we pass him like Beishamai. There were Yud Chesdo, but there were 18 Zeris in the end of the first Perek in Shabbos. The Gemara says, on one occasion, Beisil and Beishamai used to be in the same Beis Medrash. So on one occasion, many of the Beisil were away. It must have been a Bar Mitzvah, a Shevet Brachas or something. And there was hardly anybody there. So Beishamai ran through 18 Zeris that day. They saw they were in the majority, so they took a vote on 18 issues, like in Congress. You look around who's there, and then you make a you pass a bill, and you know that you have the majority, so you're going to vote. So the Rav Amram Goyen doesn't count those 18 Zeris, because the Gemara said the next day when the rest of the Beisil came back, so they were masking. So the end of the story was that there was no machlokes. The majority of the Beisil agreed with the Beishamai also. But there are six cases where we pass like Beishamai where the Beisil never gave in. So one of them is this, that you're not allowed to put tzitzis at all in the Begin Shal Pishtan. So the Rosh asked the Balabatim, how come they have tzitzis and Begin Shal Pishtan? So they said, simple. The whole reason why you're not allowed to put tzitzit in the Beggar Shel Pishtan, because you may put in imitation tcheles, klo'ilon, the indigo, and then it'll be shatan shalava maka mitzvah. But nobody has any tcheles bizman hazeh. In the days of the Rosh, nobody had any tcheles. Somehow in the days of the Gaonim, the tcheles disappeared. And now there are people who think that maybe they have tcheles in Eretz Yisrael. They have a group, so I think that they have tcheles. And Ratzina Rebbe thought that he had tcheles shat. But in the days of the Rosh, nobody had any tcheles. So the whole reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, so the Gzera doesn't apply. So the Tazi has the kashif, but it's the Chadovish of the Minyan, so Minyanach al-Atira. Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzera de Rabbanan, even though it's made for a specific reason, the reason doesn't apply in your generation, but the Gzera de Rabbanan still applies. So how come the Rosh was so delighted with the explanation? How come he was so excited and he thought it's the correct answer? It doesn't make any sense. So the Taz says, the Rosh was bothered with that, why it's not a Dovish of a Minyan. So the Rosh went out of his way to explain why there's no issue of Dovish of a Minyan. So what did the Rosh? The Tshuva has an extra few lines. He seems that he's trying to say something, but we don't know what he said. What's the thing that's up? Well, how did the Rosh answer the question? So the Taz doesn't explain. So the Taz says that the Rosh was bothered with that issue, and that's why he added another few lines to Farem for that. So it's very unclear. So the Mishkan is Yankov has a true where he says that was the answer. Whenever the Gzera de Rabbana was Bakira's Dovman HaTorah, you're right, Yesh Koach Laka B'Shei B'Al Tase. But the nature of the Gzera has to be, you have to incorporate the Tama Gzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So they had to say, we don't allow you to put tzitzis in a four-cornered Beggar Shel Pishtan because it may fall in with imitation tcheles. They had to incorporate the Tama Gzera. Normally when they make a Gzera de Rabbana, you have to have a good reason, but you don't incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. But whenever it's Bakira's Dhamman HaTorah, then you have to incorporate it. Otherwise, it's in stira to the Din. How can this body of Dinim, the Reis of the Rabbanim, they contradict each other? Whatever the Reis in Bukhiv to put tzitzis, whatever the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to put tzitzis. So HaStira, so you have to say you're not allowed to put tzitzis because we're afraid that it may violate an Issa. You have to add that on. If you don't add it on, it's unhent and unfeasible. It doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Mishkan is Yankov says. So that seems to be perhaps what the Rosh and Ksubis, a long Rosh, records from the Goinim that the Binyan Dichron doesn't apply anymore because the whole reason for the Takana is Binyan Dichron doesn't apply. So the whole Takana falls apart. It's like Hadovish of Minyan. So apparently it's not. The Binyan Dichron tesis there in Ksubis explained. Binyan Dichron is really Akira's Dovman HaTorah, because Yerusha, we don't treat Yerusha like Dinim Ominous. Even though it's just a matter of dollars and cents, we treat Yerusha as if it's Lachan L'chukas Mishpot, Aroa Kala Parshikul V'yaz Chuka, as if it's Issa V'heta. So it's really changing the Yerusha. Lachamei Resem Shana, when the son-in-law dies, and you divide the Yerusha, Shalok Hilchas Yerusha, you're going to give the grandsons from this daughter, you're going to give them first all the nichset on Barzal, and then you're going to divide the left of Yerusha. So to alter the laws of Yerusha is a violation of the mitzvah of Yerusha. That's Akira's Dovman HaTorah. Yoika, the mitzvah of Yerusha. So for that, they had incorporated the Tamak Zer into the Nusach HaGzer. The Tamak Zer doesn't apply in our generation, so the old Zer falls apart. No,
but
Chiddush.
By the case of
Sitzes,
it's not the Tchelus problem, it's the problem with the Tzemer and the Pishtin. How do they get away from that problem? Oh, Clay Elon or whatever.
You can put in chutim of Pishtan also. You put in chutim of Pishtan, but so the Tchelus has to be Tzemer.
They didn't have Tzemer altogether. They didn't have Tzemer altogether then.
No, you put
in Spain. They didn't have Tzemer.
The Beged was Pishtan and the chutim were Pishtan.
So then what was the Rosh so shocked about?
No, because Bishan made Xer, you're not allowed to put tzitzis at all. You're not permitted to put Lavan or Tchelus, nothing. Because they're afraid if you put tzitzis, next thing you know, you got to put in tchelus, and next thing you know, you got to fall in, because there are a lot of fakers who were misrepresenting and they were selling klo'ilon. Yeah.
So do you think,
Mr.
Manasseh, the Rosh would assume that you shouldn't put tzitzis on Klei
Pishtan?
Because now we have at least two possibilities, and one of them is for sure wrong.
Right. So today, the Xavier should come back again. If you live in a generation when some people are wearing tchelus, so the Xer should come back, yeah.
Well, what's the problem with the linen talisim they weren't a conservative shul? The linen talisim that they weren't in a conservative shul, those kosher? You know, those thin...
Linen or silk?
They're silk.
Silkas Chayiv and Tzitzis, Idem and Atarma the Rabban. That's Machlokas Hatanoim, where the only Pishtim, Semra Pishtim, Stam Beger Amatar is Semra Pishtim, or even Shaminim. Bottom line, Silk Beger Abikam is also Chayiv and Tzitzis, Katan is also Chayiv. But it's Machlokas and Shulchan Aruch, whether we pass him like the Tane, that it's Chayiv and Atar, or we pass him like the Tane, is only Chayiv and the Rabban. So the Ramah recommends. The whole reason why we put on an Abrakamphus is in order to get ourselves another mitzvah. So you should try to get a mitzvah deraisa. So he recommends you should wear a woolen garment. So for sure it's chayv and tzitzis. But they quote that the Vilna Gaon wore cotton Abrakamphus. He didn't follow the Ramah. But others say because the Vilna Gaon wore a talis all day long. He wore talis and tefillin all day long. So what did he need the Abrakamphus for? When he went to the Beis HaKisei, he didn't wear the talis and tefillin, so then he needed the abakafas of it. So for a few minutes a day when he went to the Beis HaKisei, he's getting up the katan abakafas. But many of the people who learned the Valoj and carried on all the practices of the Vilna Gaon, they wore katan abakafas even though they don't follow the practice of the Vilna Gaon to wear talis and tefillin all day long. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to wear katan abakafas, but the Gaon wore katan abakafas. He didn't wear talis and tefillin all day long. So somewhere, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, he recommends everyone should wear a woolen abakamphus. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He's just quoting what it says in Shulchan Aruch, because woolen abakamphus for sure is deraisa. If you're going to wear cotton, it's going to be a machlokes, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. And others say, they follow the Vilna Gaon, a cotton abakamphus. It's chayma derabbanan, for sure. Nachamal, so what was the problem again? We just started. So the Mishnah says, this woman, this Eishes Ishes Insel, the Shagig over here, the Erecha told her that the husband is not alive. And she thought that he was dead. So she went and the Bezin told her she's allowed to remarry. They told you better investigate. So she investigated. To the best of her knowledge, the husband is dead. So she remarried. So then we say we have 16 penalties, a whole series of penalties. So one penalty is she doesn't get any ksuba. When they divorce her, she doesn't get any ksuba. Then he says another penalty is her children don't yarshin her ksuba. If she doesn't get any ksuba, there's nothing to that. Of course the children don't yarshin the ksuba. What are you talking about, the children getting ksuba? That's what the Gemara is. Ksuba my avidite. How can you talk about her children getting the ksuba? She's entitled to. She's not entitled to the ksuba. Just said she doesn't get. And for the Gemara, no, we're talking about ksuba's been in dichrin. It's a different story. Ksuba's been in dichrin. The money that her father gave her when she got married, the nichse tzan barzel that he gave her to help her in the marriage. So even though she died before the husband remarried, that's a takana bin in dichrin. So one might have thought she doesn't get the ksuba if the husband divorces her, but the bin in dichrin, that should apply. So the Gemara says, no, also pshita. The Mishnah says, no ksuba, nothing. The Gemara says, no, Ma'u Detem, I would have said, no, Libido, you don't give her the ksuvah, Abda Yisura, she's the one who violated Eishes Ishes Inso, Kansuva Rabbanan. We penalize her, so if the husband dies or the husband divorces her, neither husband, the first husband, or the second, nobody has to pay a ksuvah. Abba Lazara, like Kansuva Rabbanan. But for her children, they shouldn't get Binin Dichrin, why not? That was, the whole Binin Dichrin was to encourage the fathers to give significant matana to the daughters when they get married. So the way to encourage it is to promise them that even if the daughter dies young at childbirth, whatever, that money that they gave the daughter will remain by their grandchildren. It won't remain by the second wife's children. It won't remain by the husband. It's going to go to his grandchildren. So Kamash Mulan the Mishnah, no, she doesn't get, she loses the ksuba, she even loses the ksuba's benedichin.
Where's the daughter's money?
Huh?
Where's that money go now?
The husband gets the Yerusha, and then when the husband dies, it's divided among all the children equally.
Second husband, first husband?
No, the second husband is a fake.
Right.
The first husband, the real husband.
The husband who came back.
Yeah, the one who came back alive, yeah.
He gets
everything, and then when he dies, then it's divided equally among all the children. So her children may get part of it, but they don't get off the top. You don't give them the Bidin Dichrin off the top and then divide the rest of the Yerusha. You divide everything equally.
What did he say? Why should they suffer? Bidin Dichrin, if the father gave it to the
Shir, yeah, yeah. That's what the Gemara says. One can argue it's not fair, why should they suffer? So the Gemara says, no, but it's part of the Takana of Ksuba. that he said she loses the ksuba, that's part of ksuba. Ksuba is bendecha, it's part of tanoi ksuba, ksuba danya. So these are, this is the way we pass it, that you have a whole series of penalties over here. She needs a get from the first husband, second husband. The children from the first and second, they're all mamzerim, and they're abanan. The children from the second husband are mamzerim and atar. But the children from the first are only mamzerim and they're abanan. And if she dies, neither husband is metame, and nobody can be made for the nedarim, and so on. She doesn't get ksuba. All the penalties, all the penalties. So then the Mishnah says, but not all the tanoim agree to all this. So the Mishnah quotes a series of tanoim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with her. Rabbi Yossi says she does get ksuba from the first husband. And the Mishnah on Pei Zayin on the base. So it says Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. If it would say Omer Rabbi Yossi, it's a new thing. Rabbi Yossi Omer means he disagrees with the previous statement. Not true. She doesn't get ksuba. So Nichse Bar LaHarishon, the first husband does have. When he has to divorce her, when he divorces her, he has to pay her the ksuba. Rab Lozer disagrees also. He says, Harishan Zaka, Harishan, husband number one, does get the Metziah. We said before, neither husband number one nor husband number two, neither, if she walks on the street, she finds a $1,000 bill, so neither husband gets the Metziah of the Bible. That's the penalty. So the Gemara says, Rab Lozer disagrees. The first husband is married to her, he's entitled to Metziah, so I see a debt, any money she earns, the first husband has a right to be made for the nedarim. We said all along that if she has no children from the first husband, so the brother is only allowed to do chalitza, he's not allowed to do yibum. The next Tana disagrees, Reb Shimon Oimer, not true, b'yosa chalitza asam, b'yochem shal rishon, but teres terosi, you are permitted to do yibum. You are permitted to do, ein avlad mamzer, the children from the first husband are not mamzer, the children from the second husband are mamzer. So the Gemara is not sure exactly. We don't pass on like any of these tanoim, not like Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Lazar, not like Rabbi Shimon. But the Gemara is not sure. What do they hold? There were three tanoim here. Rabbi Yossi is the first, Rabbi Lazar is the second, Rabbi Shimon is the third. The first one, only Rabbi Yossi only disagrees on ksuba. He doesn't disagree on hafaras nedar. Or Rabbi Shimon only disagrees b'yosa and he doesn't disagree. So the Gemara is not sure. Gemara has a machlokes amaroim. Who says what? So the later Tanoim agree to the earlier. The later Tanoim are Rab Shimon and Rab Loza. They agree to Rabbi Yossi said. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with them. Or the reverse. Rabbi Yossi agrees with them and they don't agree with him. It's not relevant because we don't pass like them anyway. So I'll skip the next 20 lines in the email. Okay.
Can I just ask one question? Are the children you're talking about, the children that are born after she had married the second guy and the husband
comes
back. You're not talking about the original children when they were first married.
The original children before the story began, they're not mamzer. When she gets married to the second husband, so midirabbanan, she's an ashen shish to the second husband.
Okay, so she's not allowed to marry the first.
So until the second husband gives her a get, the children from the first husband are considered. If she goes back to the first husband,
and
she's still married to the second husband, midirabbanan, make believe married midirabbanan.
She had new children from that first husband.
First husband.
After Rabbanan says she has to get divorced and everything else.
Right, then there'll be mamzer midirabbanan until the second husband gives her a get. When he gives her a get, she's still not allowed to go back to the first husband. Then there won't be mamzer. They're only mamzerim. They're not mamzerim because a soita labaila makes mamzer. They're mamzerim because she's eshes ish. Tosfos earlier, Memtes, I think, there's a quote of Rabbeinu Hanano that the children are mamzerim from the first husband because she's a soita labaila. And even though we pass soita labaila, doesn't make mamzeris. If a woman has an affair with someone else other than her husband, she has children, she becomes pregnant from the other person, then the mamzerim. But if she has an affair with someone else, she's a soita. Then she goes back to her own husband. She has children from her husband. So the Gemara says, before Hakam Loidim, all the Tanaim agree that the blood from Anida is not a mamzer. Nobody says the blood from Anida is a mamzer. Nobody says the blood from a soita is a mamzer. So there's a tesis on Memtes on the base, and that soita doesn't make mamzer. So the text goes from Ben Hananel says, but Midrabbanan makes mamzer. Because the Mishnah says here, the children from the first husband will be mamzer and midrabban. We don't paskin like that, Rabbeinu Hanan. On the Shulchan Aruch we paskin, they're only mamzer from the first husband because the second husband didn't give her a get. So she's an eshes ish to the second husband. Even though she's married to the first husband, but she's also married to the second husband, make believe Medirabbanan. So the children that the first husband will have, if he takes her back before the second husband gives a get, those children will be Mamzerim Medirabbanan. Because it's a lot from an eshes ish. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we'll start the next Gemara. Okay, so we'll skip the next 20 lines. We'll start Nisus Shaloi Bishus. The Mishnah draws a distinction. This whole penalty that she needs to get from the first husband, second husband, the children, she can't eat truma, she can't eat, she doesn't get Meiser Rishon, and Amitame, they don't attend the funeral. Penalties upon penalties. All the penalties are only, the Mishnah says, that's only if an Eid Echad came and Bezna allowed her to remarry, and the Bezna said, we're only allowing you to remarry on the condition that you investigate it, and you better investigate well, because if it turns out that it's not true, your husband is still alive, you're going to suffer all the consequences, there's going to be a whole penalty. What if two Eidim came and they said the husband is dead? So you don't. So the Bezin doesn't want her, you better investigate. It doesn't have to investigate anything. Two Eidim say the husband is dead, the husband is dead. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Dovah should be here, you have two Eidim. So the Mishnah says, V'nisa shaloi b'shus, if she married without a het to Bezin, two Eidim came, they said the husband is dead, that's normal. Materis lach salo, she's allowed to go back to the first husband, because it's an eshes ish, she's in Sabainas. It's not her fault. You don't consider her a seita. This is how he does. And if Eid Echad came and he testified the woman, the husband is dead, this is how he does. Teitze, she has to get divorced. However, Pturim and Akarban, since the Bezin told her you're allowed to remarry, even though she's living with the second husband, she's an Eshes Isha Zinsa is an Isha Kores. So if he did it, Bishogik, she should be Chayva Karban Chatos. The Mishnah says, Pturim and Akarban. Why Pturim and Akarban? We don't pass them like this line. There's an institution in Parshas, in Chumash Vayikra, an institution of Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur. If a private individual, by mistake, ate chametz but Pesach, he ate a cookie and he thought that it was kosher the Pesach, it turns out that it was real chametz. So he has to bring a carbon chametz. So the person, by mistake, ate on Yom Kippur, he forgot. He wakes up in the morning, he has a drink of coffee, then he realizes he forgot today's Yom Kippur. So if he eats b'shogeg on Yom Kippur, you have to bring a korban chatos. If he does meloch on Shabbos b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatos. Whenever you do an aver b'shogeg, which if you would have violated it, it would have been chayv kares, kosher zana kares, and shigigos a chatos. You have to bring a korban chatos. What happens if it's not a private person made a mistake? The Bezna Gadol Shel Yerushalayim had kipaskin that on Yom Kippur you're allowed to drink coffee. In the morning, everyone's allowed to drink coffee. After Shachris, you're not allowed to drink. The Isser eating only begins after Shachris. Whatever. It's some funny psak. They came. And then the rave of the Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called the Tzibur. Tzibur is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz, the Gemara says, are considered ki yichidim domo. So the rave of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael violates the din. The chief rabbin had said, is mutta. So the rave of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael violate the Isser Koris because of the mistake from psak of the Bezna Gadol. Then the Bezna Gadol reverses their psak. They realize they made a mistake and they publicize it. Either they realize it, or another 50 years you change over the whole Bezna Gadol. And then the later Bezna Gadol reverses the psak and they say that the previous Bezna Gadol made a mistake. So the din is that the Bezna Gadol has to bring a Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur, special chatos, and each yochid doesn't have to bring any chatos. Yechidim don't have to bring. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, that's the first Perek in Horeis. Gives a lot of details about that institution of Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, why don't the Yechidim have to bring a chatos when they drank their coffee on Yom Kippur? They wrote 51% of the Tzibur drank coffee on Yom Kippur, because the Bezna Gadol said that it's mutter. So one time is of the opinion, Yochid Shasa by Roz Bezna is Potter. Whenever Yochid means less than 51%. A person violated an Issa Kares because the Bezna Gadol said so. But it's not Rav Hatzibur Sheberetz Yisro, so the Bezna Gadol is not going to bring a parallel Novishal Tzibur. So no one's going to bring. So this Tana holds no one brings any chatas then. The Yochid was listening to the Bez. He did what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to. The Bez and said it's mutter to drink coffee on Yom Kippur. So he drank coffee on Yom Kippur. Bez Nagadol doesn't have to bring the Paran Doshatzi because it's a Yochid. He didn't have 51% of the population. So that's what the Tana and the Mishnah holds like that. That the Yochid, this is one woman. It's not 51% of the population. So one woman had an Asik. Erechet said the husband died, and the Bezna allowed her to remarry. So the Mishnah says, Nisus Alpi Bezn. Bezn told her she's allowed to marry. Teitze, she has to get divorced from the second husband. Pturim and Akorban, she doesn't have to bring a chatas. I bet she violated Issa Loisinaf Bishoigeg, and Loisinaf has Kuris. Because the Tana and the Mishnah holds Yochid Shasa Beroz Bezin is Potter. So the Rambam says we don't pass like that. We paskin the only time the Yochid is Potter from the Korban Chatos is if the 51% of the Tziba violated the Aver and the Bezin Agav is going to bring a Chatos to be Mechapra on the 51%. But if it's only 49% of the Tziba violated Aver, that's called Yochid. Yochid means less than the Rav Tzibur, then the Bez Nagadol is not going to bring the Parha and Davash al Tzibur, then we say each and every individual, leave me hundreds of thousands of people, each and every individual who drank the coffee on Yom Kippur has to bring his own chatas. Maybe they have a right to sue the Bez Nagadol. It cost them $500 for a carbon chatas. Maybe they should ask him to pay for it, maybe Midin or the Mamazik. But each and every individual, we pass on every individual person has to bring chatas. Then it says, "V'mnisa shaloi b'shus." If she remarried to the second husband without a het to bezin, because two eidim came and they said the husband is dead, "Materis lach salo." She's allowed to go back to the first husband. What does it say right there? The next line. "Nisa loy nisa salpi bezin." If she was nisa salpi bezin, then the Tana Mishnah holds p'tura min akarbin because the yachid shasa by roz bezin. The Tana holds in the Mishnah Potter from Chata. We don't pass like that. And Loinis is Alpi Bezin. If she remarried Alpi Shnei Eidim, she didn't have a Psak Bezin. Teitze, she has to get divorced from the second husband. L'chayev is Bekarbon. She is Chay Bekarbon. Because she didn't have any Psak from the Bezin. So now the Gemara is going to go into a whole discussion. Do we pass like this distinction or not? Because the one who's speaking in the Mishnah, you see the way it says, first we had the Tanakhama gives all the 16 penalties. She needs a get that of Lat Mamzen, she doesn't have forest and dorm, and she can't eat truma, everything under the sun. Then it says Rabbi Yossi disagrees a little bit, Rabbi Lazar disagrees a little bit, Rabbi Shimon disagrees a little bit. And then it says, it's still Rabbi Shimon speaking. So the Gemara says that's Rabbi Shimon speaking. The line after Rabbi Shimon, the second line after Rabbi Shimon, he says the brother of the first husband may do yibum. He disagrees with the Tanakhama. The brother's not allowed to do yibum. He says the brother may do yibum. You don't make a penalty there. And then he says when this is the next line after Reb Shimon, he says when this is shalev b'shus, materas lachsalo, she can go back to the first husband. So the Gemara says that's Reb Shimon speaking. So the Gemara says Rav paskins like Reb Shimon. The Gemara is going to have all discussion. Why did he pask like Reb Shimon? We don't pask like anything else that Reb Shimon said here. Reb Yossi and Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon are all disagreeing with the Tanakhama. So when Reb Shimon says, Nisa Shalab Bishus Materas Aslam, maybe it's also in disagreement. Why did Rab decide to pass like Reb Shimon? So that's going to be the next discussion in the Gemara. Okay, so we'll save that for next week.
What if you have, let's say the
Beis Din
says, you know, you should made a mistake. And let's say there is then a Zaken Mamre who asking correctly but against the Beis Din HaGadol. And then later the Beis Din HaGadol reversed their psak. They realized they made a mistake. They reversed their psak, which became in accordance with what the Zaken Mamre said. So would you say that the Zaken Mamre would then not be Chayav Misa?
Or probably would
you say he's Chayav Misa because of the time you paskin and he was going against the Beis Din HaGadol?
Good China. I don't know if these things ever happened. Was there ever a case of Parhan Dovash al Tzibur? The conditions are so far-fetched. There's not Godel. on the officially on the books, you see, in by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they have a principle of infallibility. That Bez Nagadol can never make a mistake. But yes, we have Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake, and Aaron HaKohen straightened them out. The Rebbeinu Shlomo straightens them out. We have on the books, it's possible for the whole Bez Nagadol to make a mistake. It has to be a unanimous vote. How is it going to be a unanimous vote that you're allowed to drink coffee on Yom Kippur? The whole thing is ridiculous. So on the books, there is such a din. No human being is infallible. Did it ever happen? Probably not. I wonder whether there was ever a Zaka Mamre in the history of the world. On the books, there's such a din of a Zaka Mamre. Was the Rebbe a Zaka Mamre? Very questionable. The Ragat Shobe has had this interpretation of a Gemara. The way he interprets the Gemara, it comes out that there was once a Parha in Dovah Shel Tzibur. The interpretation is not Mukhrach. You can interpret the Gemara differently. And today's Sedra, we have the din repeated, the din of Ritzicha is repeated. You're not allowed to kill. Shafich dam ha'adam ha'adam dam mishal ki b'tzelem ha'akim ha'asah ha'adam. This was told to Adam HaRishon. Vaitzav Hashem ha'akim al ha'adam. The Lashon, the verb tzivui, l'tzavos, is a technical term. Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Tzavei, Lashon Tzavei, Lashon Ziris mi'ad ha'adaris. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Rashi quoting a Sifra, in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah has the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah, has the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs, one not. So the Rambam says he only include mitzvahs that apply throughout all the generations. If you have something that's only harasha, so you don't include it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. For example, Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was a mitzvah to knock on the next neighbor door and to ask for matanis. The din doesn't apply bismanazeh, so that's not one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Not to leave over the month till the next morning, that's not counted in Taryag mitzvahs. So the pasuk says, "Vaitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam," they should need from the Eitz Hadas. So the Ramban quotes a medrash that the Eitz Hadas was only usher. And he was created, Adam Rishon was created on Friday. If he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. It was only Asur HaHiru HaShoah. So how can it say, Baitzav HaShem HaKim Al HaAdam, if it's only HaHiru HaShoah? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole interpretation on the Pasuk. Baitzav, the Pasuk mentions the HaHiru HaShoah of not eating from the Eitz Hadas, but really, all the mitzvahs ben Enoch were given. Eiv Menachai maybe wasn't given till later because he had to be a vegetarian until after the Mabul. But all the mitzvahs ben enach were given already. So he was told there's an Issa L'Sirtzach. So why does it have to be repeated now after the Mabul? So that's what the Mefarshim say, that the human beings had sinned so much, they were mekalkel so much, the whole Tzelem HaLakim that they had. One might have thought the whole Isser of Lysirtzach is because kids kibbutz Tzelem HaLakim also saw them. So now the Tzelem HaLakim became so ruined, maybe there's no Isser Lysirtzach anymore. Atkedekach, the Bonshom had to destroy all of mankind. So maybe even Andoach and his children were spared. Maybe there's no Isser Lysirtzach anymore. So the Pasuk says, no, the din of Lysirtzach still applies. Shefech Tamvodim, kibbutz Tzelem HaLakim also saw. There's enough Tzelem HaLakim, maybe if it's not the same degree that it was an earlier generation, there's enough Tzelem HaKim, there should be an Issa. And the Pasuk also says, Achaz Dimcha Nanav Shesech Medrash, one is not permitted to practice suicide. Now, a lot of states are permitting the doctors to assist in suicide. That's an Issa. We assume that the suicide is an Issa. This was told to Noach, not only a din for Bnei Yisrael. The prohibition of Ritzich and the prohibition of suicide is for all human beings. You're not allowed to commit suicide. You're not allowed to is a din of lifnei the sita michshol. The person doesn't know how to commit suicide, so they want the doctors to give them the pills that they should take their lives. So a doctor's not allowed to do that. It's a big problem now. They have nursing homes in New Jersey. Assisted suicide is if you're in a nursing home, the doctor is obligated to help you if you want to commit suicide. So the nursing homes in New Jersey that are owned by religious Jews, and people from New York are signing up for those nursing homes, knowing that when they get a little older and they will be disgusted with living, they'll be able to force the doctors to give them assistance in committing suicide. That's a shadow. What are they going to do with their... You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. The government will take away their license from these religious people. It's going to be a big problem. It already is a problem. It's going to be a bigger problem in the future. Do we ever permit suicide? So soldiers in the army have a heter etzicha. If you're fighting a war, if it's mutter to fight the war, that's in the Israeli army. They're fighting to protect the Eretz Israel. So a lot of the soldiers carry with them cyanide pills, because they know that if they'll be captured by the enemy, they can pressure them, they can torture them long enough until they'll reveal secrets that'll be detrimental to the security of Eretz Yisrael. So in a war, there's a heter etzicha. You're allowed to kill, you're allowed to put Jewish soldiers into sakana. Usually you're not allowed to put people into sakana. You wage war. So there's a heter to put Jewish lives into sakana. There's a heter to kill. You're not allowed to kill nochrim. To kill yourself also, if that's part of the war effort, okay? But if it's not part of the war effort, you're not allowed to. The Beis Yosef and Yeridaya, on the Siman of Yehorag Layavar, the Beis Yosef is a commentary by Yosef Karo on the tour. So the first edition he had, the Beis Yosef, then a later edition he added on Hoysophis, that's called Berakah Bayis. So if you look on a regular tour, the whole Beis Yosef is in Rashi script, in thin letters, and the Hoysophis that's called Berakah Bayis always has base hay. Berakah Bayis is in bold bold letters, not Rashi script, block letters, so you can find it very easily. So the Beis Yosef in the Berakah Bayis on that din of Yehorag Layavar quotes the Midrashim, the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Tanchuma, that since it says Achiz Dimcha Nanash Secha Medrash, Ach and Rak is always a miyut. So what is it in the mayit over here? So the Midrashim say, Yochel Kisho'u, Shaul HaMelech was afraid that he would be captured by the enemy and they would torture him. So in order not to torture, in order not to suffer at the hands of the enemy, so he committed suicide. He committed suicide. So the Medrash says that is permissible. In order not to suffer at the hands of the enemy, you're permitted to commit suicide. So this is a big shadow. The Beis Yosef quotes it. He thinks that that's the din. Many other poskim say it never appears in the Gemara, so you're not allowed to follow these midrashim. So that was a big machlokes during the Second World War. A lot of the people were suffering so much at the hands of the Nazis, they wanted to commit suicide already. Is it permissible to commit suicide because you know that the enemy is going to torture you or not? So that was a big machlokes. Rabbi Yosef Karo says mutter. And others say that it's awesome. But this, it's going to become it already is an issue, it's going to become a bigger issue. The Jewish nursing homes in New Jersey, where the government says that the doctors are mechuyev to help them, to assist them do this. Also. That's Taka Keneger Adin, that's Lif Nibi, you're not allowed to. Right?
I just talked to Shalom. I said, remember when we went to Yumi's wedding? He said, you know how many years ago this thing is making my mitzvah for weeks? I couldn't believe it. I didn't know it was so many years already. Mazel tov, mazel tov.
Then we have another bar mitzvah, Yisrael, a third grandchild.
Okay, that's a little follow up already. Okay. Yeah.